Autopilot by Nimue the Sea Witch. Fandom, Stargate Atlantis. Relationship, Rodney McKay and John Shepherd. Rating, Jen. Read by Starter with Alex. Cover art by Cassiope 25. Due to time differences on either side of the gate, he's been up for 37 hours straight, and all he wants to do is collapse onto his bed face first. He's on autopilot as he strips down his gear, goes through medical, and wraps up the debrief with Elizabeth. He says goodnight to Taylor and Ronan as he and Rodney part ways with them at the transporter, and absent-mindedly kisses Rodney goodnight as they part ways at Rodney's door. Then finally, he can fall into the blissful embrace of his tiny bed. He makes it all the way to the door of the mess the next morning before he realizes what he's done. Ronan has dragged him out of bed for their run. He's showered and shaved, and now his stomach is grumbling and his brain begs for caffeine. But he can't enter the mess because Rodney will be there, and he had kissed him. Yeah, he's thought about it 1.5 million times before, but he's only ever fantasized that Rodney might be receptive to it. As far as he knows, Rodney is straight, prefers busty blondes, but will settle for red-headed botanists, and definitely doesn't kiss closeted lieutenant colonels with messy dark hair. The mess is out of the question, but there's a coffee maker in his and Lorne's shared office, and there are always the stashes of power bars he hid in case he ever needs to save Rodney from his hyperglycemia. Yeah, if he goes to his office now, he'll end up being roped into paperwork all day, but Rodney won't expect him to be there, and Lorne might possibly be convinced to grab him a turkey sandwich if properly incentivised. Chocolate, the good popcorn, and maybe that stack of requisition forms he was supposed to do last week. Yeah, this could work. He's alerted to the failure of his plan when Lorne comes back from the mess, not with a turkey sandwich, but with an anxious Rodney McKay and a quick, "Sorry, sir," before rushing back out of the door. John leans back, kicks his boots up on his desk, pulls out his most insouciant smirk and drawls, "What can I do for you, McKay?" "You kiss me." "What of it?" "Do it again." The end. Precision Landing by Cassiope 25. Fandom, Stargate Atlantis. Relationship, Rodney McKay and John Shepherd. Rating, Jen. Read by It Started With Alex. Cover art by Cassiope 25. This is a remix of Autopilot by Nimue the Sea Witch. Due to time differences on either side of the gate, he's been up for 37 hours straight, stumbling through the damn forest after his team, having to look at his feet all the time, ranting about stupid morons that built Stargates in the most inhospitable places and who can't provide the slightest useful insights for his scientific genius. After getting back and passing his after-mission exam, he doesn't even think about checking what's going on in the labs, too tired to handle any crises or face blatant stupidity. Instead, he follows his team to the mess hall, devours the biggest almost Salisbury steak and a cup of blue jello without exchanging so much as a word with an equally exhausted lieutenant colonel, while all the time explaining to the offensively energetic Taylor and Ronan why visiting that poor excuse of humanity wasn't worth his valuable time, thank you very much, until he finally finds himself heading with them to the nearest transporter. "Rodney, with time you will certainly see the benefits of trading with those very nice people," Taylor says, silencing him by leaning in and bringing their foreheads together. "They have good combat knives," is all Ronan has to say to that, slapping Rodney on the shoulder before turning to John, saying, "See you tomorrow for the run." "Yeah," is the laconic reply from John, who's almost fast asleep on his feet. Rodney is left looking at John and rolling his eyes, reaching out to open the transporter, every inch of his mistreated feet screaming for his bed, but he can't pass up the chance to call John out on this. "What an articulate response, Colonel. My ears are bleeding from all the words that have spilled out of your mouth in the last half hour. Of course, you don't have the courage to stand up to Taylor. Not that I can blame you for that, but at least you..." As though he's on autopilot, John interrupts him with a precisely landed peck on the mouth, adding, "Good night, Rodney," and enters the transporter, not even realising that Rodney isn't following. Rodney stares, dumbstruck at the closed doors, rooted to the spot and unable to finish the smallest thought, while touching his lips with his fingers for what feels like some of the longest minutes of his life. His brain feels short-circuited and unable to support his genius any more. The way his feet were unable to support him to walk any longer, all thoughts revolving around the one and only thing left in his mind. The Colonel had kissed him, really had kissed him. John had kissed him. He can't remember how he got to his quarters afterwards, nor does he recall any of his thoughts other than reliving this one moment in time, until finally his alarm goes, sending him off into the morning after, a bundle of nerves on his way to the mess hall, unable even to enter when he gets there. And if it weren't for Major Lorne, who finds him in front of the door, circling and mumbling incoherently, and brings him straight to the one man who can handle an anxious, out-of-order Rodney McKay, he probably would have died a lonely, hyperglycemic death. "You kissed me," he exclaims when John looks at him. "What of it?" "Do it again." The end.